15. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is sharing his ministry plans. 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 16, and go down to verse 5. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5. He says, "Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. God, just thank you for this mission report we've heard and how you're working in Elizabeth and Angela's life and how you're working in the world and how you use us, God. And just as we come to this time in your word, we need you to open your word to us. Speak to us from this truth, Lord. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear. We know we can do nothing without you. And so, God, we just ask you to come and intervene. Enable me to share the things I need to share and tie these things together. And most of all, God, just let it penetrate our hearts and move us to where you want us to be. If we're in Christ, then we're to be on mission. We're to be going, but we're also just to be on mission where we are daily and living this. And so, God, help us to take these things to heart. And so we just look to you in this time. Speak to us. You know where we are. Move each one where we need to be. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a glimpse into Paul's ministry plans. It's a snapshot into his life as he's planning ministry and doing the work of the Lord. And let me just remind us that that is to be our life as well. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, let me look at that. Let's look at that again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So that bears out weight on each of us. That's not just for the preacher, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. That's not just for Sunday school teachers or those called to missions. This is for every single believer. This is written to the entire church. Therefore, each of us, those who follow Christ, are to be steadfast and immovable. We're to be standing for Christ in this world. And so often to get moved off track and moved off center for Christ, to get wrapped up in the world and busy with our lives and our own things, and we're not really standing for Christ and being immovable for Christ. And so we have to stand fast for Christ. Nail your feet to the ground and don't let anything move you from being centered on Christ and the calling of Christ and the work of Christ in your life. That is the calling here. And be always abounding in that work. Always, at all times, abounding, meaning going over and above in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything else in life will burn up. The earth and the works that are in it, the Bible says, will melt with fervent heat. And so there's a whole lot of things that we busy our lives with that when we stand before God on that day, they're just going to burn up and be a pile of ashes. And so we really have to step back and ask ourselves, are we really serving Christ and doing what Christ has called us to do and living for the eternal things that are going to matter on that day that we stand before Him? Will there be things that are precious and eternal that are piled up there because of our lives, or will there be a pile of ashes because we squandered away what was committed to our trust? And so we need to take these things to heart. And what we see in these verses is just a picture of what it looks like to live out chapter 15, verse 58. This is what it means to be steadfast and immovable. This is what it means to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we've looked at the first two of these, Paul's planning and ministry. Paul was intentionally planning ministry into his life. And that's what you see there in verses 5, 6, and 7. He said, look, I'm planning to come to you. I plan to spend the winter there if the Lord lets me. And then you can send me on my way wherever I go. I'm not sure where that's going to be. But what we see in Paul's life is he is intentionally planning ministry into his life. And that's what we're to be doing. We need to step back and just ask ourselves, am I just living life and being carried through each week with all the busyness of life? Or am I stopping and intentionally planning, I'm going to serve the Lord here. I'm going to minister to the church here. I'm going to minister to this family or this individual here. I'm going to go out and share the gospel here. Are you intentionally planning ministry into your life? If we're going to be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord and be faithful on that day that we stand before Him, then we must be intentionally planning ministry into our life. And so just step back and ask yourself, am I doing that personally? What are you planning into your life to serve Christ? How are you planning ministry and service to the church and service to spread the gospel into your life? How are you planning that? What are you planning? We need to be busy planning ministry. The second thing we saw was Paul's faithfulness in ministry. He says in verses 8 and 9, but I'm going to tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. And so what you see here is even though Paul's planning ministry in advance, where he plans to go, what he plans to do for Christ, how he plans to be serving the Lord, even though that's on his agenda, he's also focused that right here at the present moment, God has me where I am, and I'm going to be faithful where God has placed me. And God had placed him at Ephesus, and God had opened a great and effective door there, and that door is an effective door for ministry. It is a door to be spreading the gospel and sharing Christ and leading others to Christ, and a door to be strengthening that church and strengthening the believers and edifying them up and strengthening them in the calling of Christ. And so he says, look, even though this is on my agenda, right now I'm going to be faithful where God has placed me. We need to be faithful where God has placed us. We can't just be looking and planning ahead to what might come in the future. We can't just be planning that, well, I plan to serve Christ over here, or next year I plan to go on a mission trip. But are you being faithful right here, right now, where God has you? And we need to step back and even just think about that. Where does God have me now? And am I being faithful where God has me now in my own family? Your immediate family, and then out from that to your brothers, your sisters, aunts and uncles and others, and then out to your workplace and your neighbors and your friends. Are you living for Christ? Are you on mission? Are you spreading the gospel? Are you sharing the gospel with others? Are you plugged into the church and being faithful there and ministering to one another and using your spiritual gifting? This is what it looks like to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so are you faithful where God has you? And we made the point that where God has you is the proving ground and the testing ground for where God will send you later in the future. That's just the truth of Scripture. We see that in Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23, Luke 12, verses 35 through 44, and many other places. It is faithfulness right where you are that prepares you for where God wants to move you in the future. And so, are you being faithful where God has you? Are you living for Christ? When you go to work, is your life being lived as a holy life? Is it harnessed into Christ? Are you spending time in prayer and in the Word? Are you going to work on mission and knowing you're to work unto Christ and there's lost people all around you, as Elizabeth was sharing? God putting that on her heart. Are you seeing that? There's lost people everywhere. And you're there to be light in their life. You're there to be spreading the gospel, to be a witness of Christ. Are you intentionally living that in your life right where you are right now? This is the calling. And then lastly, where we pick up is Paul's companions in ministry. In verses 10 through 12, there are a couple of Paul's companions that are mentioned here. And this is crucial. Paul was not going this alone. Paul was just not out there, you know, doing ministry on his own, all by himself, all by him lonesome, his lonesome. But Paul had others. He had other believers. He had other brothers and sisters in Christ, other ministers who were close by his side, who he ministered with, who encouraged him, who supported him, who helped him, who strengthened him. And these are just a couple of the many whom Paul had. Later on, we'll see a few others in verse 13 and following. But here in verses 10 through 12, we see Timothy and Apollos. First of all, Timothy, verses 10 and 11. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. And what you see here, again, is Paul's planning ministry. He is planning to send Timothy to the church at Corinth. Timothy will come to Corinth and he will bring this letter that Paul is writing, the letter of 1 Corinthians, with him. He will spend some time with them. He's going to minister to them there. He's going to see how they're doing spiritually. He's going to try to strengthen them and build them up for a short duration. And then he will come back to Paul. He'll give a report to Paul how the church is doing, how the believers there are doing. And Paul says, look, you need to send him on his way to me. If he comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord. And there's a word of instruction here, and there's a word of warning here. See that he may be with you without fear. You remember there's many at the church at Corinth who were puffed up. They were full of pride. There are many there who we saw in chapter 1 and 2, they're divided over preachers. Some are saying, well, I'm of Paul. Some are saying, well, I'm of Apollos. Some are saying, well, I'm of Cephas or Peter. And they're divided over preachers. Paul knows this. He knows he's sending Timothy into a church where there's a lot of issues going on. And he's saying, look, when he comes, you make sure that you don't intimidate him. Make sure that he's not there and he's in fear because you're divided and you won't listen to him. You won't heed the truth that he is sharing with you. You need to receive him as one who does the work of the Lord. Do not despise him, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. This is God's servant. That's what he's telling them. This is God's fellow servant. This is God's faithful worker. He comes to you to do the work of the Lord just as I do. If you know the scripture, then you know Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Paul had brought Timothy along as a young man on his missionary journeys and took him along his side. Paul had discipled Timothy. Paul had prayed and warred for Timothy in prayer to God. He had brought him along. He had instructed him and he was preparing him to basically take over Paul's ministry when Paul was called on to the Lord. But you see here in Paul's life, Paul sees him as a fellow servant. Not as someone who's under him, but as someone who is equal to him, as a co-laborer for Christ. So he says, look, receive Timothy as such, as one who does the work of the Lord, just as I do also. Receive him, send him on his journey. So this is just one of Paul's co-workers. Moving on, there's Apollos. Verse 12, now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a more convenient time. Apollos comes on the scene in the book of Acts chapter 18. That's where you first see him come up. He is called a man who is mighty in the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 19, we find him as the elder pastor leading the church at Corinth. He's there at Corinth. He's preaching there at Corinth. But now we find him out preaching. He's gone from Corinth. He's out evangelizing. He's sharing the gospel, spreading the gospel. He's strengthening the churches. That's how he came on the scene in chapter 18 of Acts. And so now he's out with Paul. He's out with Timothy. He's out with these other men spreading the gospel, strengthening the churches. And so Paul tells the church at Corinth, I strongly urged Apollos to come with the brethren, to come with Timothy, to come with the others who would be traveling back to Corinth with this letter in hand. That's what Paul thought would be best. Again, knowing their situation, knowing they're divided, knowing there's so many issues there at the church at Corinth that need corrected, it would be good not only to send Timothy, but also to send Apollos back there to straighten some of this out, to put a stop to this, well, I'm of Paul, well, I'm of Apollos, and let them know, look, we're all on the same team. We're all for Christ. We're all for His name, His glory. We're not divided. And so he says, look, I think it'd be good if Apollos would come. But he says Apollos was quite unwilling to come at this time. Apollos tells Paul, no, I can't go right now. At least not at this time. And so he says he'll come later when he has a convenient time, when it's best for him, when God directs Apollos, when God orchestrates that, then he will come. And again, you just see here that Apollos is seen by Paul as a fellow worker, a companion in ministry. Paul's not trying to place Apollos under him as if Paul's saying, look, I'm an apostle called by Christ and you need to get back there to Corinth. He's not trying to place him under him and use some kind of apostolic authority over Apollos. But he's letting Apollos be directed by God and realizing God has a hold of Apollos and I need to let God lead Apollos wherever God is going to lead him and not try to force these things. And so you just see Paul's fellowship and love, camaraderie with these other men called in to serve the Lord Jesus. And we see this again and again and again. In Romans chapter 16, we were there not long ago on Sunday evening, there's a whole list, you should read that, a whole list of companions of Paul in ministry. There's over 30 names given. Some of those names are entire households. Some of them are men. Some of them are women. And they are just Paul's companions in ministry. They are women who prayed for him. There are some women who supported him, women who housed him, women who helped send him on his way. There are other men and women, men and women, husband and wives teams. There are whole households who house churches in their houses that were ministers. And these are all people gathered around Paul who are serving Christ and loving Christ and giving their all to Christ, all encouraging one another. And the truth that we need to pull from this is that we're not to be going this alone. We're not to be going this alone. Paul was not going this alone. He wasn't doing internet church at home all by himself. Paul wasn't saying, well, you know, it's not that big a deal if we don't go to church today. We'll just stay at home and watch a sermon on the internet and kind of do our own thing. We'll just have our own Bible study at home. Well, that's good, but don't push the church off and do that. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Paul was plugged into the body of Christ. He wasn't all out by himself just doing his own thing with his own little cohorts. He was plugged into this church and that church and this church and going around and strengthening the churches, and they were doing ministry together, and so must we. So must we. These men here were dear to the Apostle Paul. These were men who had risked their own lives with him for the gospel. They put their neck on the line to share the gospel of Christ, to be out starting churches, strengthening churches, ministering together. They're using their spiritual giftings, their God-given resources together. I mean, they're laying their lives down to go out and do ministry for Christ. And they're just ordinary people. Just from various walks of life, but they've been snatched out by God, out of the world, placed into Christ, and called to be His witnesses, just like you and me. Dear men, beloved by God, beloved by one another. And so we need to understand, God doesn't want us out there just winging it all by ourselves in ministry, trying to go this alone, but we're to be plugged into the local church and other believers where we're being exhorted and encouraged, where there's accountability and fellowship, where we can strengthen one another and exhort one another and be doing ministry together, the eternal things. The eternal things. That's what we need to be busying ourselves with. Look around. These are our companions in ministry. These are our companions right here. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that what Jesus said? His brothers come, his mother and his brothers came early on in his ministry, and your mother and your brothers, sisters are looking for you. And he looked around and said, these are my mothers, my brothers, my sisters. This is my family. This is my ministry. This is the calling right here. And so we're just ordinary people, right? But snatched out by God. snatched out of the world by God Himself, placed into Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, placed into us, sealed with that Spirit, enabled and empowered by the Spirit to do what God has called us to do. And so we need to be faithful. Ministry takes each of us using our spiritual gifts and doing our part. It takes each of us using our spiritual gifting, and you have one if you're saved. You have a spiritual gifting from Christ, enabled by the Spirit. And we're to be doing our part and using that gifting. We can't be doing this on our own. And so know and understand, each of us have a part in the work of Christ. Each of us are gifted by God for ministry. Each of us are to be faithfully using that gifting and serving one another in the church. And each of us are to be going out where we are to a lost world, spreading the gospel, and then beyond, planning ministry wherever God would send us. And so step back this morning and again ask yourself this as we look at this point and there being companions that we're to be doing ministry with, the church body, fellowshipping together and serving Christ together. With whom are you serving Christ? Who are you with among the church, strengthening others in the church? With whom in the church are you going out and spreading the gospel? Who are you gathering with, your other brothers and sisters, companions in the church, planning ministry together, going out in the world together, going out to reach the lost around you together? This is what it means to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing our labor's not in vain in the Lord. Paul's companions in ministry. And so this is just a glimpse into Paul's ministry life, a glimpse into what it means to be faithful to Christ and really live this out in our lives. He was planning ministry into his life. He wasn't just expecting God to orchestrate it and whoever just plops into my lap. No, he was intentionally, I'm going to go here and do this if the Lord wills, and then I'm going to go out here and I'm going to be doing this, and he's planning ministry. But also, he's not just looking at all that. He's being faithful right where he is. He was at Ephesus. There are many adversaries there, and Paul says, I'm staying to fight until God either moves me or the work is done. And then I'll go. He's faithful where he is. And then he had companions alongside of him laboring. This is how we must be operating. There's a calling from Christ on each of our lives. There's an eternal work that Christ has entrusted to us, and we are to be standing steadfast, immovable. So we're there doing that work, and we're not going to be moved from that. I think for a lot of us, we've already been moved, and we're so busy with other things. It's like, well, we just don't have time. You know, that's the excuse that we often bring up, and you've heard me say, maybe you remember, we have all the time that God's going to give us. You're not getting any more time. You have a set duration. As a matter of fact, the day that you're going to be called to eternal glory, if you be in Christ, the day you will die is already marked on the calendar of God. You've got a set duration. It is how we use it. It is what we invested in, isn't it? And if we're not planning ministry and we're not intentionally being faithful where we are, we'll just get carried away off track. We'll get wrapped up in our own lives and we'll be busy doing this and doing that and doing this, and we're busy that, and years will go by, and then we're going to stand before Christ, and all that's going to be weighed in the balances, and it's either going to be burned up and be ashes, or it's going to be precious and eternal. What's it going to be? When your life is there, and it's weighed in the balances on that great day of judgment, ashes are the eternal precious things that last forever. Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work. What are you laboring for? What are you spending your time, your money, your energies, your resources on in this world? We need to step back and examine our lives in light of God's word and ask ourselves, is this how we live? Or have we gotten off track? And we're busy with a lot of things, but boy, they're not the things that are going to be precious and eternal on that day. And you know, if that's where we are, we just have to get honest. And we need to come to the altar this morning and get honest with God and say, God, I've been off track. I'm not where I need to be. And my heart's grown cold and hard and I'm calloused. And I need to get back to where you've called me to be. And I need a fresh touch from you. I need the joy of my salvation. I need to be renewed back to where I need to be. And forgive me and cleanse me of my sin and cleanse me for where I've been off track. And God, wash me in the blood of your Son and set me back where I need to be. Maybe you're here today and you're lost. You're not even Christ. And He knows. He looks into your heart. He looks into your life. He knows if you're truly born again. He knows if you're His. He knows if you've truly repented of sin and put your faith in Him as Savior and Lord. He knows. He sees all things. What would Christ say of you? He looks into your heart. Would He say you're a true believer, that you've repented of sin, you put your faith in Him? He's caused you to be born again. He's changed you by His power. You're growing in Christ and you're seeking to serve Christ. Or no, you've never truly even been saved. You've never repented of your sin. You're not His and you need to be saved. And if you need to be saved, then today is the day of salvation. We don't know if we have tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what the day will bring forth. Our life is but a vapor. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. And so today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the appointed time. Now is the time to say, you know, I'm done living in sin. I'm done wasting my life away, going my own way and heading for destruction. I need to come to Christ. I need to lay everything down there at His feet, be done with sin, repent of sin, and call on Him to save me. Maybe that's where you are. You need to come to Christ and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Maybe there's something else that God's just placing His finger on in your life. He's convicting you about these things. And we need to respond to Him. And maybe you're just sitting there dull and calloused. Then come and repent. Because that's not where God's called you to be. And acknowledge that and say, God, I'm dull and I'm calloused and my heart's not in it anymore. And I need help. And just acknowledge that to God. The first step of getting to where God wants us to be, just acknowledging where we are. So let's stand this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask Him to help us today. I pray you've been challenged by the testimony of these young ladies and how God's working in them and the desire they have to be truly living on mission where they are and to be planning that in their life. How we've been challenged with that, not even knowing they would come and speak those very things. We've already been there in the Word. And so we need to examine these things in our own lives and just ask God to move us where He's called us to be. Father, we pray. We humble ourselves. We need You. We can do nothing without You. And as we extend this invitation, God, it's Your invitation. We've come face to face with what it means to serve You and love You and what it means to always be abounding in the work of the Lord and being steadfast and immovable. And I pray You would drive these things in our heart. We need revival. God, many of us just need revival. We need to come and just confess where we are, God, and the callousness and the apathy and the hardness, God, that's taken hold of us. And be honest with You about that and sense our need and see our need to be moved back to a place of loving You and serving You and zealous for You and busy about the work and serving with one another. And for others, God, it is true salvation. They're lost. They know they're lost. They know they don't know You, God. And I pray You would drive that in their heart. I pray they would know they're heading for destruction. But there's a Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who has died for them and bore their own sin and paid the price in full. And they would know that today. And they would see Christ as He is, the only hope, the only Savior, the only one who can make them right with You, the only one who can save them, give them everlasting life. And I pray they would run to Christ, putting their faith in Him as Savior and Lord. God, do that work today. We need You. Help us in this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.